Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. And I'm coming out of the New Living Translation. It says, "As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' But Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head.' He said to another person, 'Come, follow me.' The man agreed, but he said, 'Lord, first let me return home and bury my father.' But Jesus told him, 'Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God.' Another said, 'Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family.' But Jesus told him, 'Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God.'" So we see here Jesus talking about the kingdom of God again. And what I see here is being focused and not allowing distractions to hinder your placement in the kingdom of God. As you see in his last verse, he says, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." So if you're plowing something, you start looking back, you're not working really, you're distracted and you're looking at something else. And so he's saying you're not fit for the kingdom if you're allowing distractions to prevent you from doing the work. You know, you got to eliminate those. So when you join the kingdom, you have to eliminate the things that distract you. And this is the process in our life as we are born again to learn what are distractions and how to get rid of them. And so today we're going to talk about distractions and first at least to identify them. What distractions are. So Jesus already mentioned a few of them in here. The first one, and we've talked about this quite often, was that he didn't have a home. So the guy said, "I want to follow you." Then he says, "I don't have a place to lay my head." You know, even the animals got a home, but I don't even have a home. So do you want to follow me still? So it's just revealing the cost of following Jesus. And somebody preoccupied with living somewhere, having a home, and that is something that would distract them from following Jesus. So he's told him straight up, this may be the case for you. Another thing he mentions in here is the one guy said, "Like, I need to go to this funeral, you know." And Jesus said, "Let the spiritually dead bury the dead." Basically, you need to let go of the affairs of the worldly. You know, your family members who are not saved, who are not born again, who don't respect God, why are you bothered by what they got to do? You know, let the people who are not even following God do their thing. Don't get involved in what they're doing. Don't allow the affairs of the ungodly to be a distraction to you. You know, it's not to say that you can't go to funerals or those who are in the kingdom or not. That's not the point here. It's not to be preoccupied and distracted by it. A lot of people are distracted by family affairs, specifically otherworldly. And so we're going to talk about that as well. Then another guy said, I want to say bye to my family. He says, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So he was exposing a little bit in this man that he still had a connection to his family. And he was looking back. And so we see here family distractions, and we see his family wasn't coming with him. He was just coming. You see in here in scripture, he said, "Let me say goodbye to my family." So his family ain't following Jesus, but he is. But he wants to say goodbye to him. So there's still a piece of him that's still connected. He wants to say goodbye, but Jesus is saying, you know, that's still something of you still with them, and that's distracting you right now. He said, "Look, man, you don't even need to do that. Just come follow me. You ain't got to say goodbye. Just come follow me." Now, this is not saying that you can't say goodbye to your family members or that you can wish them farewell or whatever. And leaving them, you know, that's not the case here. The bottom line is it's about distractions. And in this case, family affairs or the worldly can be a distraction. There are other distractions that are not mentioned here, but I believe are also distractions as well. And so we're going to talk about them. So there are four that I pulled out of here as I was studying this. And not this particular scripture, but in general, distractions that that we may be susceptible to. The first one is, as I mentioned, family affairs, otherworldly. The second one is entertainment and social media. The third is ungodly ambitions. And the fourth is money, happiness, and comfort. So the first one, one of the biggest distractions is our families, especially if they're ungodly. They can be a big distraction for us. And that's something that we need to get rid of. The Bible says, what do light and darkness have in common? We shouldn't be unequally yoked. So if your family members are not born again, we have no business with them. We don't need to be dealing with them. We need to keep our interactions with them very minimal. And we can't allow the affairs of their life to distract us from doing the will of God and pursuing the kingdom of God. Okay? We can't do that. Another distraction is a troubled marriage. I'm getting a lot of emails from ladies who, their husbands, they're committing adultery. They have a new religion that's causing them to be abrasive and contrary. And there's a lot of stuff going on within there. You cannot allow your spouse's behavior to distract you from the kingdom of God. You just can't do that. And when I see a lot of ladies, they email me, and they hung up on their husband's behavior. He won't change. He won't do this. He won't do that. It's nothing you can do about him. All you can do is focus on your relationship with God and say, God, can I be right with you? How can I be right with you? That's all we can do. Anytime there's a spouse that's causing problems, that's out of order, that you cannot focus on them changing. You have to focus on you and your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. Asking God, God, you know, am I right with you? Help me to be right with you. That's all that matters at the end of the day. Because this is an individual affair when it comes to salvation. You're not getting in because your family members are coming and going into heaven. It's all individual. So all you can say is, let me be right with God. My husband may not be right with God, but let me be right with God. My wife may not be right with God, but let me be right with God. My family members may not be right with God, but let me be right with God. Let me stop focusing on seeing my mother get saved, my father get saved, or my brother get saved, or my sister, my cousins. Let me get off of that and get focused on me being right with God. And then God will direct me into whatever path he needs to take. A lot of times we can't minister to our family members. We're too common to them. So we may have planted a seed that, hey, they need to get right with God, but down the line, maybe God will use somebody else to bring them to God. But I'm going to go back to the marriage thing to keep that there. Ladies, you cannot change your husband. All you can do is change yourself. And that means getting right with God. Going to him and saying, Lord, I want to be mature in your sight. I want to be right with you. And that's all you can focus on. And get off of what he's doing, what he's not doing. Get off of that. Same thing, men, with your wives. I get emails from you about that. My wife is this, my wife is that. Get off of that. Let that go. About what they're doing, her behavior and all that. Focus on you and the Lord. That's it. Because that's a distraction. Satan is using that as a distraction. You caught up on your marriage and you're not working with God to be transformed into the image of Christ. That's a distraction. The enemy loves to use that. So make sure you're right with God and continue to pursue his kingdom. And everything else will fall into place. But if you're going to get caught up on, you know, my marriage, this and that, and no, it's going to be a lot of pain and suffering for you because you're not focused on the kingdom. You're not focused on God. You're focusing on your husband or your wife or your family. You need to focus on the Lord. He's the only one that can fix this situation, and he's the only one that can save you. You're not getting into heaven with your family members. Nobody's bringing you in. It's individual affair when it comes to salvation. So drop that. Get off of your husband. Get off of your wife. Get off of your family members, your mother and your father, wanting to see them saved or transform or act right. Get off of that. Let God work with them, and you make sure you're right with him. Don't let that distract you. Another thing is wayward children. You know, my child just, he's acting up. He's always out late and I can't seem to control him. And he, you know, I'm scared that he's gonna, or she's gonna end up pregnant, or he's gonna end up shot or dead or in the streets. Allow your child to be released to God. Don't go around always harboring or holding on to the fear of losing your child or this, that, and the other. Put that child in God's hands and say, "You got him, God. I'm not going to stress about this because this is in your hands. You in control." So many people are sitting around stressing about their children. Now, you raise them, you do the best you can, and at the end of the day, you release them to God. Because that's a distraction that the enemy would love to use. And he'll say, "Oh, so you've caught up on your child. Okay." So then your child does something else. And now you back and forth on an emotional roller coaster about what they did next. And now you're this and you're that. And you can't seem to focus on the kingdom of God and grow spiritually. It's an individual affair. That child is responsible for their behavior. And you're responsible for your relationship with God as well. So you got to get off of that. You can continue to pray for them, but make sure that you and God are right. And then overall drama with family members. As I said before, we got no business with the ungodly. Okay? If your family members are not born again, you need to not be in relationship with them. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked. We cannot be unequally yoked. We ain't got no business dealing with people who is not born again. I don't care if that's your mama, your father, your brother, your sister, your cousin, whatever. They don't love God. You ain't got no business with them. They don't respect your God, and you gonna be in fellowship with them. You know, this is some stuff that we need to really pay attention to. And a lot of us still have not let go of people who don't respect our God. You got no business in fellowship with, friendship with anybody who don't respect your God. You got no business doing that. So that's when it comes to family distractions. And then we have the second thing, we have entertainment, social media, TVs, you know, entertaining and media, music, the latest this, the latest that. These can be distractions. If you pick up a few shows, you're pretty much, a few hours of your days is just following the story of a show. That's a distraction because you're not focusing on the kingdom of God and growing in God. You're too busy watching the story of the show and that's a distraction. So we have to be very mindful of what we're connecting ourselves to. I remember early on, I used to watch TV and I said, I got to get rid of this television. I got rid of the television. Then the internet had something called Hulu where all the TV programs are online. So now I'm online looking at TV and I said, man, I got to get rid of this. So I finished these seasons. I said, I'm done picking up seasons. I'm not watching no more weekly shows. You know, I'm not getting involved with that because that's a distraction. And I had two or three, I think, shows I was watching at the time. This was maybe back in 2009 or so. I got rid of that. I said, I'm not doing that no more. Because I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to be chained along in a story where I'm constantly week in, week out, having my mind occupied by something that's not even real. A story. Okay, I got to find out the rest of the piece of this, the next piece of that. And I'm just like, no. So you have to minimize greatly the amount of media you're taking in every week and get rid of that because that is a distraction. That can be a distraction to where you're too busy trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen next episode and you're not working with the Lord to be transformed into the image of Christ. That's what's important. You know, not the next episode of some program that you're watching. Okay. And then social media, being on Facebook all the time or YouTube or Twitter or whatever. We know these things can be very distracting. If you can be on social media for hours, just distracted. And the enemy knows that. He created all these things for a distraction of us. He wants us to stay asleep, distracted, following social media, following what people are saying, following the latest story or episode or whatever. And all along, our lives are pretty much going to hell. Our souls are not being transformed. We're not renewing our minds because we're too busy thinking about stuff that's not even important. So we have to greatly minimize the social media entertainment that we look at. I wouldn't say it's a sin to look at this stuff. However, some of the content is sinful, and it definitely leads to, you know, sin. But overall, the media in genre as itself, the internet as itself, is amoral. There's no right or wrong in that. But my point is that these can be distractions, and they can lead to you losing your place in the kingdom of God because you didn't spend time with the Lord to be transformed. You just stayed in media all day and lived your life like that. And then you ended up in hell because of that. So we can't allow that to happen to us. So we need to examine ourselves. This whole sermon here is about examining yourself and seeing what areas of your life are being distracted, what distractions that the enemy has put there, and then removing them. Okay, number three is ungodly ambition. So this can be stuff that seems practical, that is necessary, like building a company. If you're self-employed, or you're building you're an entrepreneur or something like that. It could be working on your career, you know, taking extra educational courses to be better at your career. Or if you don't have a career yet, you're just in college and you're studying and you just got all this stuff going on. That can be a great distraction. I'm not saying going to college is a distraction, but you have to control it to where it does not interfere with your relationship with God, your growth with God, your maturity in God. You're stuck on studying everything but the kingdom of God and the word of God. There's something wrong with that. So this is just like I said, we need to check ourselves. Ministry can also be a ungodly ambition, especially if God is not leading you to do certain things. Some people get into ministry and say, well, I'm doing the work of God. But then God didn't really say do that, though, did he? And it's your ambition is not God. He didn't lead you to do it. And so you're just doing something nice. You opened up a soup kitchen. You started a church. Something God may have not told you to do, but it seems godly. And you're doing it. That it can be a distraction because you're off, basically. And so you're doing all of this and you're way off. And that's not the will of God. And, you know, you can end up in hell for that. And then the fourth thing is money, happiness, and comfort. We talked about this extensively. The pursuit of money to be comfortable, the pursuit of money to be happy. God is not concerned with your happiness. He's concerned with your inner joy. That comes from him. And so if you're pursuing happiness, that's going to be a distraction for you because money can make you a slave. As we talked about, it'll take you away from God. It's a big distraction. So we got to let go of that. And that's why we talked about, I think, a couple episodes back. Don't let money take you away from God. Don't do it. The pursuit of money just to be happy for, you know, a temporal, you know, because that's what happiness is. It's just temporal. You buy the new thing, you buy the service or whatever, it's going to pass. And then you're back to trying to get more money to be happy again. And God is saying, look, I just want to give you joy so that you're content in any situation, no matter what's going on around you. So distractions, the main one is family affairs or the worldly, entertainment and social media. The other one is ungodly ambition. And then the fourth is money, happiness, and comfort. So I encourage you just to look over your life and see, you know, what could be distracting you, and then get rid of those distractions. Minimize those distractions. Find a way to sever them so that you can follow the Lord in peace without anything diverting your attention. Till next time, be born again and walk in the Spirit. Be blessed.